from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Yeah, I've been here before.
Hey, you don't know what goes on here.
I'm here all the time.
You don't know this place. You don't know what goes on. Okay, here's what we got. I got to get the show moving because we squandered away the prime hours of the day with technical problems.
Classic.
Yeah, yeah. Which didn't happen until Covington came in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had, we use that media computer which shows the opening of the show. I haven't had a problem with that literally for 6 years. Now, I can't remember the last time we saw Covington, but, I mean, about that time.
It was circa 6 years ago, definitely.
Yeah. Probably was, yeah.
I'm just, I mean, I don't believe in coincidences.
Well, just go check the cornerstone of the building. It was right before you guys started building, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, this seems real possible that, again, the Holy Spirit has done it.
I'm not above taking credit for this.
Okay. All right, so here's what I got going on the show this evening. Well, first of all, so Covington's here.
Yeah.
He sabotaged everything, but there he is over there.
He has done good things apart from his saboteur.
Yes. Here's the thing. He released, is it fair, Sean, to call it a Christmas song?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
It is definitely intended to be oriented in the direction of Christmas.
Okay. Okay, so vying for the Christmas hit of the season.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's not overselling it.
No.
Okay, Bales.
Yeah.
Bales is what it is. I took a listen. I got a hot off the press copy of this thing at the same time everyone else did.
Pre-release. And, it was pretty special.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's very good.
It is good.
I'm excited for you guys to hear it. And so we'll play that song for you, and we'll give Sean a bit of an opportunity to describe the tune and cajole you into perhaps purchasing it.
Yeah, or streaming it for free.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, whether you, because you like the song or you if you're watching the video, you see how good of a dresser he is and you think to yourself, I want to contribute. Yeah. I want to do something positive in someone's life for the Christmas season.
Wait a minute, is there a music video?
There's not a music video.
Yeah, but you can imagine. When you hear his voice, you think to himself, he could probably use a few bucks, pick up a new pair of pants.
After you listen to it, imagine him coming around the side of a building with a guitar, troubadour style.
Yeah.
Like, as the snow falls, and you watch the main scene happening, but he kind of just, like, intersperses it, like Gilmore Girls style.
He just
troubadours himself around, and then it turns to, like, there's snow in his beard.
He's like a bard.
Yes, a bard.
This is true. Actually, I've heard many, many of Covington's numbers. He is bard-esque.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Have you ever or are currently engaged in smoking like an old man pipe?
I'd love to. My wife would kill me.
That sounds like a maybe.
I am a disciplined ex-smoker.
I understand completely.
Wait, of old man pipes or just in general?
Cigarettes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing, is like, I don't know what happened to the PR train on the tobacco, but it's way cooler to smoke an old man pipe than it is to smoke cigarettes anyway.
I don't know. I'm not willing to wager on that one.
Hmm.
Okay, he's staying out of the waters.
Here's the deal. I will take up both, and then you guys
tell me.
We'll
and
vote.
It'll be purely objective. This
purely
is
scientific.
Be a 6-month study.
So I guess I'm the control in this case.
Yeah, I'll send you TikToks of me.
Perfect. That's perfect. Now, every time I sort of, we went to South Dakota for our family vacation this year, and we were going through the wall drug.
Yeah. I think everybody in Iowa went to South Dakota this year. I did too. Yeah.
I ran into half of them. They all went at the same time. And I kept kind of dropping like, oh, I wonder if they sell like carved pipes here or something like that. I think that'd be kind of fun. She'd just look at me and give me the evil eye. And
maybe we'll
look at this here carved buffalo.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've been trying the exact same tact over the last 3 weeks. I've been dropping hints that maybe I should take up a pipe.
Yeah.
And boy, my wife is not grabbing the baby.
She's
either.
Not. Really?
I mean, it speaks of refinement and discipline.
Yeah, it does. I kind of actually like the smell of it.
Dan will come over and visit. You guys yourself a pipe.
I mean, how am I supposed to...
I won't smoke
to,
it. I'll just watch it.
How am I supposed to think about things accurately without a pipe?
I know.
There's all kinds of ideas I'm not coming up with because of my lack of pipe.
Okay, so anyway, that's we're going to quit Covington. That's item one on the docket.
Okay.
Two, Mike's got some Pope style... Preview on the Pope style, Mike.
It's fear.
Fear.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
Okay. Three, we got into a conversation at the just before the show started about Nehemiah.
Yeah.
And but there was something else.
It had elements of beard pulling, yeah, toleration of things, unity amongst the church or God. We'll call it God's people. Unity amongst God's people.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we're going to try to get to that.
Okay.
Pulling beards, bringing people together.
Yeah. When unity fails, it's beard pulling.
It's beard time.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. And then we'll do some advice. Oh, I may have an article. I'm not sure. I've been debating whether I care to bring this up or not, because the content of the article is not really what I want to care about, but it's like it's what people get involved in. But it's the possibility of like what you're being with the type of information you're getting and how you probably need to take it easy with it. So we'll see. If we have time for that, we'll do it. If not, I might just let it go. The Spirit might say, look, man, this is dumb. You don't want to bring this up. Okay. And then we'll do advice on Dear Life from the Path and we'll cut it out.
That sounds good.
Okay, good. Also, just for context, and I decided I should start doing a play-by-play. Like, if you ever listen to a football game on the radio, they tell you what's going on. They say, look, the Cyclones got the ball. They're driving from left to right. Okay, so they give you some context. So here, just so you know, starting from left to right, I got Sean Covington, Dan Hudson, Nathaniel Carson, Mike Foost, and then I stand in the middle.
Yeah.
So there you go. If that helps how you're thinking about the home game, that's what the layout of the studio
is. So I'm kind of on the 50-yard line.
Yeah. Dan's in the center.
If I had to take the temperature of the room on this pipe smoking, though, I mean, where would you say we're at?
Be more specific. Like, am I for you committing to smoking a pipe full-time or just picking up casually?
Casually pipe smoking.
Yeah, I'm all in.
I have an addictive personality. It's something to keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, but are you going to give up other addictions so you can do the pipe?
No.
No, I can't support it.
Just piling on.
I think you can trade out. Here's the deal. You can swap out marijuana for crack cocaine, and you can switch to pipes instead of cigarettes. But I can't have you. It can't be additive. I'm going to do crack and marijuana.
I'm not currently engaged in the cigarettes, but I do. I mean, what if I drink? I drink a lot of coffee.
Are you just saying that for the crowd?
No.
Like you don't have any smokes in your truck right now?
Uh-uh.
Maybe. In the gas tank?
I might have some.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I'm not sure where they are, though. That's
having them is not the same thing as smoking them,
that's
sir.
That's how familiar I am with them.
Security blanket.
What that says to me is Covington's got some in his attic.
No, not anymore.
I smoked them.
Okay. I did carry a pack for a long time after I stopped smoking. I don't know. It was a dumb idea.
Like you just couldn't, like just you weren't smoking them, but you
I
just
kept waiting
waiting
for the urge to come back.
Yeah.
Wait, and it didn't come back?
Like, it's a miracle. I shouldn't tell you because it's not fair.
What do you mean? Hit me. Okay, now you got to say it. You got to hit us with it.
I. What do you want?
What do you mean?
You want the lowdown on
whatever was
smoking?
The miracle?
Yeah,
whatever wasn't fair.
That's the interesting part.
I got incredibly vomitous. I barfed my guts out for. It's more than that. I had been sick for several days, and I was heavy laden with anxiety because I had believed that I would have an opportunity to play with somebody in town that I thought was going to be profitable for me to play with.
Yeah.
And I was excited about it, and then I got sick. I had like this chest cold that sort of had like a flu feeling to it, and I couldn't do it, so I was all wound up about it. Anyway, long story short, I went to bed super early, and of course when you're super sick, especially with like a chest cold, smoking, it's a necessary evil, but it's not an enjoyable one.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have a cigarette before I went to bed, and it was quite early. And I should preface this by saying I had attempted to quit smoking by various means many times prior to this.
How long had you been a smoker up to this point?
Probably smoked for 14 years.
Okay. So a good decade and a half.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, and it was probably around the at the rate of about a pack a day at that point, maybe a little less.
This all sounds familiar to me.
Yeah. I mean, Lucky Strikes or Virginia Slims.
Pass. So anyway.
It was totally Virginia Slims. Everybody admits to Lucky's.
it was the sale of choice. So okay. It was usually like Parliaments, Marlboro Lights, Camel Lights, whatever was
today's
on sale.
American Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was never on sale.
No.
That's premium stuff. But I got to bed super early, and then I woke up in the middle of the night, and my fever broke. I thought, oh, okay, maybe I'll be able to go to work tomorrow morning, set my alarm, get up at regular time, fix myself a pot of coffee, and set outside for my regular morning cigarette. Well, I sit down on the step, and I smoke that thing, and I hadn't had a cigarette in quite a while. And I stood up, after smoking it, and I felt very dizzy. And I thought, well, that's what you get. And a little morning buzz there. And then I walked inside, and it got worse. And I made it to the sink, and it was as bad as I had ever felt. And
oh, no.
Barfed my guts out for 25 minutes, probably, sweating profusely. And I never smoked after that.
That was it.
Wow.
That is an awesome story.
That's almost to the T how my dad quit smoking back in the early 70s and became a vigilant ex-smoker.
Sure. Sure.
So I always kind of fantasized that that's how it would be. And
boy, howdy, did it come riding up on a stallion. Yeah, bonus.
A big green one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Now, I mean, just for context, like, have you been like, actively trying to quit around that time?
Can't remember. I can't answer that. I will say that, you know, like I said, over the years, especially since my kids were born, it just felt like something I needed to do. I had a lot of guilt about it. As a worship leader, I recognized at one point that I was comfortable letting church start late so that I could have a cigarette.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it didn't occur to me for quite a while that was its own form of idolatry. I put myself and my comfort and my entertainment and whatever else you want to call it in front of starting church at a decent, respectable time. I'm not saying I left them hanging for 10 minutes, but like 2 minutes didn't bother me. Anyways, it felt irresponsible for me to stand in front of the church smoking and then go up and lead worship. And we could debate about freedom in Christ all you want. At that time, to me, it felt very irresponsible, and I felt a lot of guilt about it.
Yeah.
So I had tried to quit through like a accountability groups, American Lung Association, Wellbutrin, the NICRA, whatever.
You did the ringer, really. You went through all the options.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cold turkey was never one of my favorites. I was always like a cut down kind of guy, but cut down kind of guy only lasts for a little while, and then it turns into a stressful situation and turns into you're back to normal.
Right.
Anywho, so yeah, that's kind of the background of that.
That's a good story.
Yeah, that is a good story.
I like that.
And so, but your hesitation to tell it was, it's not really a strategy. If someone else is going, hey, what do I do? And like barf at the sink.
Yeah.
Like that may or may not.
That's true.
It's not only that, it on a certain level diminishes the effort that somebody is trying to put into quitting smoking.
Right.
Because
it's a struggle. I mean, it's a struggle for most people.
I have
and
the
that
utmost.
Yours got to get put away with a one and done act.
Yeah.
I can see that as hard to take in. But that's a holistic approach to go, look, man, I'll tell you the story, but I need you to realize it's not a measure of your success, based on you didn't vomit at the sink, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm before I tell anybody that I just quit cold turkey like that, I want them to know that I tried to quit probably 12 times before
right,
that.
Right, sure.
You know, and just failed abysmally.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really a grace from God. And so there have been times, you know, we're talking about this pipe thing. I do not even remotely resent that my wife is like, you just can't do that.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, I fully recognize that for me to pick up a pipe and start smoking it would be equivalent to me winning the lottery, getting paid in one dime, in one coin, and then standing over a sewer grate and flipping it. I might catch it 10 times, I might catch it 20 times, but someday I'm going to drop that coin. What kind of idiot would I be?
Yeah, there's no reason for it.
To have given up something of such value.
Yeah, that's a really good point, like of all the types of things people struggle with. Like, you got to know who you are, and you got to know where you came from. And like, back to the notion of freedom in Christ, some people might be able to do a pipe. If that ain't you, you got to know that ain't you.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot when we talk about like those XXX church guys or guys that can go hang out at adult entertainment conventions, right? Like,
and not get all triggered.
Right?
Yeah.
There's people that can go. There's people that cannot go. And it's cool if you're not one of those people. It's best you stay at the pool. You know, like there's no, you're not, it's not a martyrdom thing, right?
I'm not sure the pool is the best place, actually. maybe the buffet.
Yeah, just stay out. Just stay out of there. Stay where you don't belong. And like there, and here's the thing, is like you have freedom in Christ not to put yourself in a situation you shouldn't be in. That's legit. That's a legit freedom. You know, and I don't find the Holy Spirit shoving people in places they don't want to go or they don't belong being in. You know, so like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're listening live from the Path. That was How to Stop Smoking Definitively by Sean Covington.
Not the barf.
Yeah. If you, he's got a new book out called You Loser.
Yeah. Do it my way. All right. Okay.
That was not on the agenda you mentioned earlier. I just want to say that.
I like
We're already off topic.
This is the benefit of not doing any show prep at all. We get these gems of gold.
What do you say, pipe? Run that hill. Okay, I tell you what. Let's before we destroy the program, let's talk about this Christmas tune.
Yeah.
So what would you, do we want to hear it first? What do you think?
I think we should.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this.
Yeah. Give it a spot.
I've not heard it. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Me too.
Oh, man. I hate when the expectations are so high.
Okay. He's making Covington nervous. He's going to break out a pipe. All right. So this is Bells by Sean Covington. I'm going to let it rock, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to chat on it. You're listening to Sean Covington on Live from the Path.
Standing at a crossroad, not sure which way I'd go, when the shadow of a church bell's chime reached me across the snow. I was suddenly transported to another time, when worries weren't my daily bread or fear my cup of wine. Memories of a day that shines, 'cause a bell was meant to celebrate the end of the day. A bridegroom and his man await, a bride on a wedding day. A ship returning to a port, safe from time and war. Hope lingers in the sound of every ringing bell. There was something in the timing of that old familiar sound. I almost didn't hear the ring, though the feeling was profound. Something old had been awakened, something I had known before. There was hope where I'd had none, like rope upon a bell. And a hammer struck my stomach, and my hands felt bound and numb. A bell was ringing in my heart and calling me to come. Discover who had rung this bell. Sound of every ringing bell. For 100 years of silence were broken by a cry. A baby born in Bethlehem to repay the serpent's lie. Shimmers in the sound.
All right.
Yeah. That turned out really nice, man.
Thanks, Mike.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Now, hold on. People can dig on this throughout all of the Christmas season on Amazon, on the Apple Music Store.
That's right.
On Spotify.
Yeah.
On Deezer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do anything on
Deezer. Oh, it's on Deezer, too, buddy. Know. You better believe it's on Deezer.
I don't know Deezer.
I've never heard of it.
No.
I don't know what Deezer is, but it is on
It is
there.
On there.
Wow. It feels like they punch you in the face with music. That's what it feels like.
Is
like,
it? Welcome. I might have to check it out.
Welcome to Deezer.
It is on Deezer. Hold on. Here was the list. Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon, Deezer, and Napster.
Napster?
I didn't even know Napster was still
Napster's around. Napster's still here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, it's a deal.
And on MySpace.
Yeah.
Well, that way I get to reach every demographic.
Yeah. Boy, I'd like to meet the dudes that are still on Napster going, this platform is still the best.
Yeah, it closed down and then it reopened.
Really? Under new management?
Well, I don't know about that.
Under lawful management.
Legit now. It's not about like stealing music.
Well, I mean, that's the only reason I used it back in the day.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Okay, well, good. I like fences.
Okay, all right. So I really enjoyed that song,
well, thanks,
Sean
Ben.
Covington. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So did you have the idea for the story before you wrote it or as you wrote it? Or you kind of had the framework for the tune and it evolved from there? How did it show up?
Right. So full disclosure, I think I wrote this song like in 2011. Mm. And I was working, I think, with a pastor who was crafting a message for a particular week during the Christmas season. And it was using the symbol of bells. So if I'm being perfectly frank with you, I don't remember the exact circumstances under which I wrote the song, what the inspiration of the song was. I do remember, though, what the story tells.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what got my attention when I started thinking about recording a song this year. I initially started out recording another song. And I started working on it, and I was talking with a couple of friends. A couple of guys you know. You guys have met Micah Smith from the August Guns.
Mm-hmm.
And you met Allie Crummy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with both of them just because I'm really I stepped out of music writing and production and stuff like that for a pretty long period of time. And during that period of time, the market changed a lot. And so I felt very much like a stranger when I sat up this year and decided I'm gonna write a song and record it. And so they were sort of like, you should maybe think about. I mean, the timing of this. You're recording in the fall with a final date that's going to be like in October or November. You're going to get totally clobbered by Christmas carols if you try to release the song that late in the year. So you're probably going to want to release it next spring. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I really don't want to do that. And so just over the next couple of days, I was kind of just ruminating on what would be wise. And I was like, wait a second, Christmas song. I've got a Christmas song. And I pulled it up on my iPod, iPhone. That's what the kids call it these days, I think.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, and it was so just boring. And it was a really basic demo that I'd recorded, you know, forever ago and forgotten about after its week had passed. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, wait a second, this makes total sense. This makes perfect sense. So the story of the song made sense to me in the context of 2020 and COVID and just the assault on truth and objectivity, and just everything seems so like bad.
Yeah.
And the story of the song just made sense to me in that context. And so that was like, I'm going to figure out a way to make this song work. So just kept demoing it and working around different problems I had with the song, and got to a point where I felt like, yeah, this is ready to go. Let's do it. And so went and cranked it out.
Would you say, is it substantially different from where you started?
I would say it's finished compared to where I started.
Okay, okay, okay.
Where I started was like one guitar part and one vocal part and one, you know, kick drum, snare part. It was just boom,
yeah,
chick, boom, chick. It had no personality. It wasn't finished. It wasn't until we started playing with the lap steel guitar that I felt like, oh, wait, there it is. That's what the song sounds like.
Yeah.
And then I went in and started working with Brian a little bit with the vocals and the drums. He came up with that drum riff, which I just thought was perfect. And it started to feel like something that people could enjoy and that would, yeah, it would have an opportunity to actually talk.
I do like, here's the thing, is like I do like songs that have a feel to them because they tend to have a feeling, yeah, right? And so like it is one of those songs that puts you in a space and puts you in an environment where there, I mean, there's a lot, especially Christmas music, right? Like you're already in the snow, there's already these fancy horses coming by, there's already lights up, right? Like, and so you can listen to a Christmas station for 3 hours and you're still on in the middle of a old town walkway with the same setup. Mm-hmm. And this song doesn't allow that, right? It kind of, you kind of end up walking down a side street, right? It just, it moves you out of a spot and puts you in a different environment. And that part, I think you achieved a very good feel of the song in the fact that it doesn't sit with everybody else in this loud, you know, Christmas area. It doesn't. It's just, it has a feeling to it. It has a mode to it. And that's what I really enjoyed about
it. Yeah, there's a story that progresses in there. And that's one of the things I think that helped it make sense for me was, you know, it starts with a person who is just, they're just doing their life. They're like, it's the worst. I think this is the worst aspect of the song is the first line. I was standing at a crossroads. Oh, well, how many millions of stories or songs have started with a crossroads?
Right. Okay,
but that's where we're at. You know, as a community of people, we have to decide. And that's a crossroads, right? And so it's like this guy is, he's just doing his life. He's just trying to get through. And he's caught up in worry and anxiety. He doesn't see a path out of it. He's just living in it. And then there's this sound that is so familiar that he almost, it doesn't even really register. But then, wait, there's this moment of nostalgia where he remembers something before worry, where he remembers something before just being tied up in knots about everything. And then it's that need to figure out, like, how does this nostalgia, how does the joy that's hidden in this nostalgia makes sense, and why is it still there? And pressing into that, you know, he finds that it's a church bell. Okay, so now he's pressed to find out, like, why does the sound of his church bell have this feeling to it that I need to figure out, you know? And he recognizes that inherently in the sound of a bell, this is kind of a flaw in the song, but inherently in the sound of a bell is one of two things: joy or terror. Right, if you hear bells, somebody's married, right? Or somebody's, you know, that, like I always thought of Fred Flintstone and the toot, you know, he gets off work and he's headed home, ready to see Wilma and the gang. Or the sound of bells means somebody's attacking, right? I think of that as like, or something bad is happening.
Right.
It's a call.
It's an alert. Yeah.
It's an alert. Okay, so I'm sort of skipping that part. And I'm just focusing on the celebratory aspect. You know, we have the celebration of finishing a good work day, the celebration of a wedding, the celebration of somebody returning from a dangerous place safely. And this guy sort of runs into this sound to try and figure it out. And then he's confronted with this truth about a joy, about a celebration that is, it transcends the circumstances. Right. So we have this picture of a baby who's born, and there's no big celebrating happening on that particular day, but we have the benefit of time knowing that this baby born is going to change the world, right? And that he's going to change it in a way that we can have a hope that withstands whatever circumstances are immediately in front of us, that they don't stand a chance compared to the hope presented by Christ. And so that story just felt like it made sense in 2020.
Yeah, I think it does. And yeah. I think the image of it's weird that you can pull so much from a bell when you kind of alluded to this earlier, that like it's so our lives are no longer regulated by that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you push back time a good 100-150 years, right? Like the town runs on the bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that your work day does. What, you have no idea what time it is unless the bell rings, why the church bells are doing that. Like, there was a service that there's a service that the church had in regulating life. And like, now it could go off and you it doesn't even draw your attention. But like, there is a nostalgia to being drawn back into the weight of even something so simple as a sound that everyone hears at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we didn't all, it's like everyone gets the news alert that something happened and everyone turns around and you're sharing a moment. Like, that's much different than everyone is in some sort of vicinity of which the whole town can hear the bell ring, and like, everybody gets to react to that in that moment. So you have something that is so communal, but then something that is so personal, like with the guy in the song, right? Like, everyone is hearing that in some means or another. It's drawing different things upon their mind. If you didn't have anybody on the ship coming in, there's no sense of worry. The ship is just back. But if you're waiting for someone who was on that ship and you don't know what happened to them, it's different. It's different. So I don't know. It's just a very, for something such so simple, it is a very deep thing. Something to symbolize that has a lot of sinews into life that, like, you just don't contemplate until you're brought with the opportunity to. And so, frankly, I don't know, like, that the ship thing stuck with me because that's where the images of, like, the pervasiveness of a sound and its impact to the people around it, and everybody's taking it together, but everyone's taking it maybe slightly differently, and the ambiguity of what it's announcing. You don't even know what it's saying, necessarily. Like, on the other end of that.
You just know that you're going to know something.
Yeah, something is to be known. And so, anyway, it was just an interesting space. It was an interesting place to have taken that I didn't expect to be taken in the song, just by thinking that as the symbol. So I don't know. I thought it was really good. Now let's talk about the music itself.
Sure.
How many Sean Covingtons are we listening to?
Well, there's four electric guitars in the back section of that.
Okay.
There's the acoustic guitar, my vocal part. I'm playing the bass. Great guy I met through the process of doing this is Brian Vanderpool. He's playing the drums, and then his wife is just a fantastic keyboards player. So she's playing. Is it a Rhodes? Yeah, there's a Rhodes keyboard in there, and then they have a genuine B3 organ in their basement, which I just think is amazing. That must have been such an ordeal getting everything down there.
Oh, man.
And then he also supplied some fantastic harmonies in there that I thought were just buttery. Just buttery.
They were buttery.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of Covington and then...
And friends. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And all right. Friends. And so a reminder, you can pick this up. You can buy it legit style. You can spin it on the Spotify or the Deezer.
That's right.
Or the Amazon. What was the other one? Napster.
Napster.
Nathaniel loves Napster.
Yeah.
Do you use it, Nathaniel?
In the past.
For nefarious reasons?
No. Back when they were first, like, coming back.
Yeah.
The Coke rewards. You remember the Coke rewards?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The codes on the cap?
Yeah.
If you got enough caps, like, you could go to Napster.
Well,
and
you're
that,
a cheap man, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I mean, I was in, like, high school. I didn't have any money.
Like, how many $2 Cokes do you got to buy a $1
well,
song?
Well, what I would do is I would get other people who drank Coke on the regular, and I would say, hey, you just throw these caps out, right? And they say, yeah, I throw them out like a normal human being.
Even as a legit business that leads to nefarious.
One time, Sonya Wright came in a pathway, and she knew I was doing this. And she brought me in like a box load of, like, her mom or something like that.
Yeah.
Drank a lot of Coke. And she brought in a box load of, like, the tabs off the cartons and the bottles and, like, I had free music for forever after
you spun
that.
Tunes forever. You could put you could put Covington on repeat and just let it fly while you took a bath or whatever. No problem.
Who doesn't offer that? Deezer.
Yeah.
No. Deezer. I don't even know if Napster does that anymore with the Coca-Cola, but that's what I did back in the high school days.
Okay. All right. So anyway, if you're like Nathaniel and you like to live on the cheap and easy, you can still pick it up on the Napster.
I don't know about the easy. You got to manually.
It was a lot of work.
You got to suffer through all that coke first.
Yeah. It would have been a lot less work for me to get a job and go there and then pay for music
instead of grafting.
Possibly could have written the song yourself.
So wait, actually, that's an interesting by road. Then has anybody ever gotten outside of Nathaniel's cap collection, have you ever got involved in like collecting something to send in for rewards?
Oh, duh! The star on the lollipops, on the Tootsie Pops.
What? How many did you have to collect, and what did you get?
Oh heavens, I don't remember.
Was it worth it? Like, do you remember thinking? Like, did you feel accomplished?
I remember the joy of finding a wrapper with a star on it. I don't remember.
I didn't think you sent that in. I thought it was just you got a lucky one.
It was like a big deal, but I didn't know why. I thought, oh, look at that. And
that explains why I don't remember any of that.
I sent it off to them, and they threw it away. They're like, why are you sending us these wrappers back?
Why do you keep
our church used to do the Campbell's Soup ones, and like they would send it to a mission. All these churches would send all these Campbell's Soup labels in, and they'd get like equipment and stuff for their whatever their mission was, children's home or something, and they'd get cars and I mean like big time stuff. It was really kind of cool.
Oh, it's a big.
So I still to this day I'll reach for the Campbell's first, thinking I better get that label. I think I don't think anybody collects those anymore, but and then I'll go to the Hy-Vee.
Remember those tabs? Did they do that at the school?
Like the Ronald McDonald?
Yeah, they
house
were tabs? The tabs for the yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
was that? What were they?
That was for Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah.
Right, but why were they collecting the tabs? Was it like for recycling purposes?
You think they scrapped the aluminum at like 0.01 cents?
Why wouldn't you just want the whole can at that point?
Well, you can't string the whole can up. You know, they start rattling together and it looks like a cheap wedding present.
I think people were too cheap anyway. They wanted the nickel, but they said they might sacrifice the tab.
Yeah, because they'll give you the nickel without the tab.
Yeah. Okay.
Tested it.
Win-win.
Yeah. I've never participated in sending stuff.
You never
like
collect
that.
Anything and turned it in for big points?
No. No. They used to get a buy one, get one. They used to get a free 20-ounce Mountain Dew on 20-ounce Mountain Dews, like under the cap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that didn't increase or decrease the amount of Mountain Dew I drank. I was just excited to get
one. Do you guys remember... Was it Pepsi who had the campaign that you'd open the can and a $100 bill would pop out?
Oh.
No, I don't know.
And it was like this big game to figure out like which cans were loaded.
Big time. You ever did McDonald's Monopoly?
Okay.
That's what I was kind of thinking of Monopoly.
I didn't remember that one. I wouldn't expect the boys to remember.
I don't remember this $100 pop-up Pepsi can. Hold this on. Sounds like a farce to me.
Magic cans were special mechanical cans used by the Coca-Cola company in the U.S. as a part of their $100 million Magic Summer 90 promotion. Yeah, Coca-Cola pop-up can contest.
Still
I wasn't born.
And I feel like I'd be upset. Like, I wanted a cool, refreshing soda, and then you threw $100 at me.
It was $100.
Couldn't you tell by the weight of the can?
No, I think that it was magic.
Was there a
battery
in there?
You just heard your brother say, magic can.
They had to put liquid in there, too.
Yeah.
I feel like
I'm you got a soggy 100.
Yeah, I don't want no soggy Franklin. I just want this soda I want.
Put it in a glass.
I mean, I wouldn't reject it.
I mean, you could just go buy another one, I guess.
Don't drink that $100.
Test your luck.
Hold on.
The punch card?
Hold on.
The punch card?
For what?
For like anything. Like where the 10 points free?
Place right now.
Jiffy Lube.
Okay, Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, you get...
Haircuts? You're actively in the middle of a card, both of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's still like the legit punch card. It's not like at the gas station down in Moberly, they had a punch card for the coffee, and every 10th coffee was free.
Yeah,
and then they threw them out. They said, "We're doing away with these. We've got these plastic cards. Yeah. It's our reward card. You get coffee and soda now."
Ooh.
And I said, "I don't want that."
Brewers used to do that. The punch card.
Yeah. Everybody's.
I love the punch card.
I'm all right with the rewards programs.
No, I don't like them.
The punch cards.
I always would say to the people, they say, you want to sign up for the rewards? I said, no, I don't want the government tracking me. It was a joke, obviously, but they didn't think it was funny.
Said,
I'm ready for a free haircut right now.
Oh, man, ooh, Dan's ready to go.
At the Supercuts.
At the Supercuts. Okay. Just to tie this one up on that magic can, said a number of cans had problems, full colon. The pop-up mechanism malfunctioned, jamming, or a faulty seal released some of the chlorinated water mixture into the can itself.
Yeah.
A widely reported incident involved an 11-year-old boy in Massachusetts drinking the foul-tasting liquid used to replace actual cola.
Yeah, this is a dumb idea.
Despite initial fears, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health determined that the water was not harmful, containing a lower concentration of chlorine than the water in a typical swimming pool, so much higher concentration, I think. Worried about the bad publicity and potential product liability lawsuits, Coke immediately placed television and newspaper advertisements in 50 large United States markets. The full-page ads, run only once, warned consumers that a very small number of cans contain a foul-smelling but harmless water that should not be ingested. The ads were headlined, "Take a good look," and in smaller type it read, "You could have a magic can." Mm.
Wow.
Okay, I just gotta say, I have been astounded. This is totally, it might seem off topic. I'll cut to it.
Okay.
My garbage can has directions on it.
What do you mean?
Like, so here's what I'm saying.
Like this
I'm
side
saying
up?
Is it's gotten so bad
yeah.
that my garbage can has directions on where to put my hands and what to do after I've set my hands in the correct place. They tell me how to move my garbage can. I'm just thinking, if I open a can and I smell something foul, am I going to drink it?
Yeah.
Well, I did find instructions that warned me not to drink it if it smelled foul. Yeah.
But so, I said to myself, is a can.
To be fair,
the
Lord gave you a brain that interprets foul-smelling things, and your instant reaction is, I'm not going to drink that.
I'm not drinking
that. It
stinks
bad. I'm not going to have it. Right? But this 11-year-old boy goes, that's terrible. I'll have swig. It's
sure
a legit
thirsty.
Coke can. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong here?
You know,
all I'm saying is, like, do we really need instructions for this?
Here's the thing. No, you say that, but then people drink bubbly. Have you had that bubbly?
Okay, now look.
It's very bad.
Drinking a lot
this
of it.
This could come
late
to blows
recently.
Here.
No, Covington, no.
To be honest with you.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's basically what it is it's fart water.
It's just the right amount of crispy bubble.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
To take your money and give you nothing.
And to satisfy my desire for a crispy bubble.
No, it's a gypsy wagon. They're selling dad's moonshine made out of whatever they found in the last town. I'm telling you, that bubbly is disgusting.
What's
it tastes like baking soda.
So in fairness, I'm taking this to be a general statement about the essenced drinks in general.
Yeah, what's the
I'm not
going to
defend bubbly as a brand.
Yeah.
I'm a LaCroix man.
There's no such thing as
there's
a
LaCroix
man.
Oh, nope. I beg to differ, sir. I beg to differ, sir.
With the Virginia Slim.
Gross.
Yeah. Now listen, that's neither confirmed nor denied.
I'm a LaCroix man. There's no such thing. That's classic.
That's Mike for you. Always willing to embarrass you in public on the internet.
There's
no
nobody
less.
Listens to the show, Covington. There's nothing to worry about.
I saw you guys. You got lots of subscribers.
Listen to me. That is a soda can dressed in a Halloween costume. It's not real soda. It's a fool. It's a Copeland blowing in there. A little bit of bubbles, a little bit of water. Put a little baking soda in it, and then one squeeze of lemon. They're like, look at this fancy drink. It's going to be $1.75. You're like, I can buy the completely full of cancer soda for 85 cents and feel refreshed.
Okay, so
until the cancer kicks in.
To clarify, Mike, your comparison is LaCroix is like a Pentecostal televangelist.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It's televangelist water, yes. That's exactly what it is. That summed it up perfectly.
That's pretty deep. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong, but it's deep.
You know why? Because LaCroix is in a surface well, because there's no depth to it. It's just disgusting. It is not good at all.
Yeah.
Do you drink that flavored water?
No.
I like it.
Don't let him scare you.
I'd rather punch myself
but
in
also,
the face.
Also, I don't pay for it on my own dime. Like, I was buying it by the case when I was getting the $52 a day from the work to travel.
What you bought with it?
Yeah, I bought like 10 cases home when I was up in.
Oh, wow.
When I was up in.
Even Covington is disgusting.
Okay, hold up.
10 cases, that's a bit much.
I was
now
up
you're,
in Wisconsin.
Now you're storing it, though. This is.
Yeah,
now.
No, yeah, I was buying all sorts of food to bring home. Like,
oh,
I would buy
it.
Like smoked paprika. Stuff that I wouldn't buy, like, on my own dime. Because it's expensive.
Smoked paprika and LaCroix by the case.
Too expensive on my regular paycheck. But on the company's dime, I'm getting the smoked paprika.
And paid up on the Napster.
Boy, you're like a caricature of yourself. You got Coke rewards and smoked paprika. I'm living high life.
I like the guns. That's good.
So these two stories that I've told have made me seem like a real cheapo. But I'm really not like that.
You want to go out to dinner with us, Nathaniel? No, man. I'm going to the local Piggly Wiggly. They got smoke pack for me on sale. Bring them home to the kids.
Sometimes Ben and I go out to the Perkins for breakfast, and I this week in the mail,
I got some coupons from the Perkins, and I saved like four of them or five of them because it was buy one get one free entrees.
Right. Yep.
So I was like, you know, these have been great.
You've talked me into the moons over my hammy.
So cheap.
Okay. Oh, sorry. So while we're on the, when's the last time you used a coupon? Covington, you a coupon man?
Afraid not.
No, don't coupons. Dan, couponer?
I mean, like an online thing that says put in this code, I'll use.
Okay,
that.
You might online
yeah,
code,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, but I can't think of it.
But if you had to like show physical evidence of your chintziness, you're not doing it.
I mean, I'm not opposed. I just don't have anywhere where I find coupons these
okay.
days.
Nathaniel poses for, he's like wanted and caught coupon user.
I mean, I'm not like hard. When I worked at the Walgreens in my youth, there was like people who would spend forever. They had booklets, the binders full of coupons, uh-huh. and they would get like $300 worth of items for like $20, and
went.
It would take forever to check them out. It was a big hassle, and I hated it. And I did not think nice thoughts about them in my head, and so
and
I'm
yet,
not like
here
a
you are.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it came in the mail.
How the tables have turned.
Now I feel really bad when I go to the Long John Silver's and they say, "Do you have a coupon?" And I think, "Crap, no, I don't."
No,
I go to the Harbor Freight with a. If you go to the Harbor Freight without a coupon,
okay, but look, you're at Harbor Freight. They give you the coupon in line.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I suppose
it's not like I got to do anything.
Actually, you still don't have to do anything. The gal will cut it out for you. Hey, there's a coupon for that. Let's ring you up for it. They'll just open the thing, scan it. You don't even have to act like you care about coupons.
No.
Yeah.
I will not use coupons because I don't like the store telling me what's on sale and what I want.
Of course. Mike won't be bullied into buying a certain thing by cheap prices.
You won't make me save money.
I won't. They're like, hey, we got 85% lean hamburger on sale. I'm like, I want the 90s. I don't want no 85s. You ain't going to tell me what to buy. There has to be something to it. I don't trust it, and I don't use coupons for that exact reason.
So anytime that you've ever come home with something, just a normal person goes, hey, what'd you get that? Oh, it's on sale. This is the phrase Mike will never use.
That's true.
I won't be bullied.
Yeah. In fact, when the wife says when I go to the store, I double the bill because she says she at least waits to see if we're on sale or like plans a meal out, and I'm like, I want Chips Ahoy. That's we're not getting Chips Ahoy. I'm like, but I want it. I have a full time job. I want Chips Ahoy cookies. That's what we're gonna buy.
I won't be bullied by these discounts.
Yeah. And by the time we get through all the aisles, I've added $100 worth of crap. I mean, I bought waffle cones, no ice cream. I just like to eat the waffle cones.
That's me too.
Oh no, coming to
yeah. What kind of peanut butter? I want name brand peanut butter. I don't know why.
She'll send me to Costco or someplace. For milk, and then she like shakes her head at me when I walk in the door like this.
Yeah.
Milk. That's look. What I said. Milk.
Yeah. The lady was giving out.
You've got sweatshirts. You've got belts.
Free samples of Jimmy Dean's breakfast sandwiches. I'm like, these are pretty good.
I don't even like those hot dogs.
Yeah.
I only bought 10 things. It was $838. Welcome to the Costco.
Yeah, that's Costco.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Live from the Path. We're talking to Sean the Bard Covington on his new release, Bells. You can, like I said, you can pick that up on Amazon, Spotify,
Napster,
which runs by, they've got to pull start that web server every day to get it running. It's Napster. Guy comes in at 5:30. Okay, good. So this is great. Now, Bard, is there... did you record other things at the time? Like, you got other stuff cooking to hit the wax?
Yeah. So I actually started out with another song altogether. Brought in a bunch of friends to come in and help. And started it and didn't get it finished and just totally sidetracked into this totally different song. Did Bells, got it finished. So I'm going in actually on the 18th, I believe, to hopefully wrap up You See Me, which is a song I'm genuinely excited about. Finishing and getting out into the world. Hopefully I'll have that ready to release in the spring.
Now, are you going to go Weird Al style and just do singles from here on out, or do you got like a full one cooking?
So I don't know. I don't really know what the best strategy is on that. If I'm being perfectly transparent, it seems like what they call horizontal or lateral release is kind of the MO of the day.
Yeah.
Especially with streaming services and stuff, you just keep things coming out, trickling out, and it keeps people paying attention, which in theory, I guess, generates streams, which generates its own revenue. In contrast to releasing, eight or nine songs all at once, boom, then you have, a nice flow of traffic for 3 months, and then it kind of tapers off. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what I'm going to do. I'm still kind of waiting for the Lord to kind of help direct my my attention on that. Because on the one hand, just constantly recording and releasing music, it feels to me like something that could potentially turn into a distraction. And so I'm still trying to kind of work out the degree to which the Lord is calling me to this. And still be faithful with the other things that I feel called to do.
Right. Because you would back, you like you alluded to earlier, you would backed away for a bit. And so dipping your toes back in the water, the question is how deep you go swimming.
Sure. Well, and I think one of the things that I found out is that it's pretty easy to tie your flag to the wrong thing. And your identity starts to become contingent on the success of a song.
Right.
On people's perception of you as a performer, as a musician, your credibility, your perception of your credibility. And those things can become terrible masters. So, yeah, I don't want to put myself in that position again. You know, I was talking with my wife about this the other day. It's like part of me very much wants to be a responsible steward of the strengths, the gifts, and the interests that the Lord's given me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be negligent of those things. On the other hand, I also don't want them to become my masters. So trying to sort of feel that out. I'm really, like I said, I'm eager to finish this song that we started before we finished Bells, because it also is a product of, you know, shutdown, quarantine, and the headspace of that, and is dear to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, how to proceed beyond that, I'm still kind of waiting on the Lord to show me which way to go.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that sounds good. All right. Well, anyway, pick it up. Pick it up. Let it spin. Put it, add it to your holiday playlist. I don't know how you get it to lobby like Amazon to it. Do they, like, I don't know who puts together the playlists.
Well, there's a lot of different ways playlists are made. There are what they call influencers, right?
Yeah.
Guys like you.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Who compile your own sense of, you know, what's hot and what's trendy, what's cool. And then people, of course, want to be like you, and they want to listen to the things that you listen to. And then Spotify has their own sort of, I think, algorithmic ways of building playlists. You know, if a song goes from 0 to 100 in no time flat, they put that, they notice that and they put it on a playlist. I'm in no danger of that happening.
We'll see what's hot. We'll just fire it up on every device you have and let it spin.
I'll fire up at my house before I leave the house. I'll just let it blow all day.
Yeah.
Let the water run all day, right? So that's one way. And then obviously, you know, artists build their own playlist. In fact, I've built a playlist out of other Christmas songs that I thought were inspirational or similar in tone or quality to my song. And so if you visit my profile as an artist on Spotify, you'll see there's a playlist there with 15 songs on it, I think, that I put together from the likes of We Are Messengers and Andrew Peterson. Oh gosh, who else? Like I said, there's several songs on there that I felt like connected with Bells in some way, form or fashion. Mission House, Jess Ray and Taylor Leonhardt, great couple, great writing couple. They do fantastic work.
All right. So yeah, I mean, I suppose look for it on its singular, but also, I mean, on playlists.
You bet. Put it in your playlist.
Yeah. So that Spotify knows you dig on it in
that
way.
That's exactly right.
All right, Mike, let's do a
one advice.
Let's do one advice, and we're gonna have to split.
Yeah, he'll go. Okay, here we go. Dear, wait, hold on a minute. No, Nathaniel, don't look at your watch. It's rude.
Oh, sorry.
I'm about to read a thing.
Sorry.
Dear, okay, yeah, this is lighthearted. Chuckles. Dear Life from the Path, for the last 20 years, I've been sending my 4 nieces and nephews birthday and Christmas cards with checks enclosed. They are adults now with jobs and families. How can I gently tell them that I wish to discontinue the checks in their cards? I'm ready. Step 1, do not put check in card. Step 2, mail checkless card. Step 3,
cut anybody out of the will who mentions it. Yeah. What the heck?
I think as long as you Venmo the money, that's okay.
Yeah. What's the matter, Grandma? We doing Venmo this year? What's happening? PayPal? Tell me the deal. I'm 20 years old. You still owe me money? I mean, it's a sweet thing to ask, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just explain. Hey, you guys are growing up. You know, when you were kids, I was able to do it. I'm older now. I'm on fixed income.
You're 20.
You're 20. You got a job.
Yeah, I mean, what's my $15 doing me for money you anymore now. Anyway? You know, you go to McDonald's one time. Thanks, Grandma.
Right.
Yeah, and this year, in lieu of money, I'll be sending smiley faces. Love, yeah. Grandma.
There you go.
It'll even look cute.
I'll be spending your money at the casino.
You know, a check is such a hassle.
It's not even a gift, right?
Dr.
Right.
Coupon?
What is this thing?
I got to go all the way to the bank for this?
Well, no, now you can do the digital deposit where you take the picture and send it off and presto, change it.
Oh, man. To that point, I have an HSA through work, and like I paid a bunch of medical bills, and then I need to reimburse myself. And so I had him send me a check. And like the formatting of this check is in such a way that I can't deposit it online. And I was incensed. Wait, I'm like, what do I got to mail this in? Like a rube?
Like I got to go to the bank like an idiot?
Dear sir.
Find a pen and sign it like a chump?
I mean, no joke, 28 pictures of this check. I'm like, somehow the software is going to recognize this. And like by the 15th picture, I'm like, I know exactly what's going on. This is an HSA company. They're not a bank. They're not used to printing checks in a specific way to accommodate these type of standards. And so like it's just there's something about the numbers in the bottom left that are like they don't have that special sign. So the software can't recognize it. Like I know exactly what the problem is. And I thought about just trying to write it in. Like I'm going to print it myself on this check. I thought, no, then no one's ever going to catch it. But like, I mean, I was outraged at this thing.
My rights.
I have to find a darker background.
It's got to be the lights in here.
Vanta black.
I moved to like three different rooms and eight different services. I said, I will not go to the bank.
So much easier than going to the bank. Well, then you got to go during certain hours.
Yeah.
You got to put the mask on. You got to make the appointment.
Right. Banker's hours are no joke. These guys work when everyone else is working. Like, I have to, it's an event. I got to take off. I got to be gone for work for 2.5 hours to go to the bank.
Yeah. You got
to
make an appointment. Bank.
I ran into that at the local post office in Pleasantville. Here's the deal. They open at 9:30. They go to lunch at 11. They take a 2-hour lunch. They come back work from 1 to like 4.
That's it. That's
like,
tight.
And 11 right on the dots, they close in the blinds. You ain't coming in here. I mean, I think it was 11:03. I strolled in there and they're like, closed, be back at 1. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, any other advice? So everyone, thumbs up. Grandma, just do what you got to do, Granny.
Yeah, I wouldn't even make mention of it, honestly. I would just stop including the checks.
Just stop,
Let them gossip about you. Hey, man, did you get a check this year? No, man, I get no check either.
They think she's finally losing it.
Yeah, yeah, that old bird stopped sending me the checks. Really, yeah.
That's how I knew it was finally time. Grandma's finally losing it.
Yeah.
She stopped slipping a Hamilton in there.
She always sends the checks. Something funny. All right, Secular says, all you need to do is remind them, lovingly, that because they're adults now, with jobs and families of their own, you would like to exchange cards on special occasions rather than send money. Many parents do this when their children reach adulthood.
I mean, that's silly. You're already exchanging cards on special occasions. Yeah. You're just not including money.
Yeah.
You kind of BS that, Granny.
Yeah. I mean, I just stopped doing it. I don't think we need to make a big production out of everything. Just stop sending the money. That's it. It's done.
Yeah.
If one of them calls you on it, you'll know which one's the spoiled brat. And you're like, that's
yeah.
Yeah,
then they don't get a
Tom
card.
Didn't call me, but old Jim, he was right on it. Where's my check, Grandma?
I think you might have left out that 10 spot.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Pretty do appreciate it. If any of the show rubs you the wrong way, which it did, give us a call or text on the complaint line, 515-517-0085. If it's specifically at Covington, hashtag the Bard if you're going to send us a text so that we know it's directed at him.
Yeah.
If
or
not,
say the Bard. That would be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I have the following problems with the Bard. Now, if it's not about Covington, which I've heard from you, then there's no necessary hashtag. We recognize that it's directed at us. No big deal.
Yeah.
All right. 515-517-0085. That's the Live from the Bub. Bob Eisenlauer, Live from the Path complaint line. Call or text will work. Big thanks to Sean Covington. It was great to see you back in the studio. And make sure you go check out Bills.
Yeah.
On all your favorite streaming or digital purchase platforms. And, I mean, if you really, really beg him, if you can find his house and pound it on the door sometime before 9 p.m., he might even sing it as Pope style advice to get you off his lawn. That's not a guarantee. Yeah. It's a might.
It's 50-50.
It's a might.
Yeah.
But you never know if you try. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Past.
Something cool, old had been
awakened. I did it too early. Something I too early. Had known before. Okay, bye. There was hope where I'd had none, like rope upon a bell. And a hammer struck my stomach, and my hands felt bound and numb.